technology and new care delivery models are bringing healthcare directly to people and places it previously ignored. But as the wheres and the hows of healthcare delivery evolve, are care providers still able to maintain the deep empathy that is at the core of any good care experience? Welcome to Steps to Value, HIMSS's People, Process, and Technology podcast. In today's episode, we explore the role of empathy in the care experience with Dr. Adrian Boise, Chief Experience Officer of Cleveland Clinic Health System and a staff neurologist at Cleveland Clinic Mellon Center for Multiple Sclerosis. Dr. Boise talks with us about the relationship between empathy and innovation, the difference between patient engagement and patient experience, and the trends noted over the past decade of producing Cleveland Clinic's Patient Experience Summit. All that and more coming up.
Look forward to tomorrow's health system today at the HIMSS Innovation Center, an immersive, interactive, educational experience. The Innovation Center showcases new ways that IT enables informed, shared decision-making and safer, more cost-effective care where it's needed. Become an active participant in the transformation of health at the HIMSS Innovation Center. Schedule your visit at HIMSSinnovationCenter.org.
Dr. Adrian Boise is Chief Experience Officer at Cleveland Clinic Health System and a staff neurologist at Cleveland Clinic's Mellon Center for Multiple Sclerosis. Adrian, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled.
Is healthcare becoming a more or a less empathetic experience?
I think it's both at times. You know, if you think about how it used to be, there'd be this doc you had a relationship with, and he would come out to your house and sit with your family while tending to your sick relatives. And then we required that you came to see us, parked in our parking lot, showed up for your appointment in the assigned slot. And now we're working hard to keep you at home and meet you where you are, whether that's virtually or with innovative care models. And so in some sense, it feels like we've come full circle. That being said, I think people, when they think about empathy in healthcare, they're still stuck in the notion that empathy is this weird thing that occurs between two people, usually a doc and a patient in healthcare. And we don't get out of that box. And I would submit it's much bigger. We need to expand our minds. Empathy can really embody an organization. It can be how you operate and design processes and systems that are more humane. And a great example is access. You know, if you knew what it was like to try to access an appointment after you felt a lump in your breast or lost the use of your legs because they were numb, if you truly immersed yourself in what a patient might be going through at that moment, you would enable a visit immediately. And you wouldn't sit there and say a bunch of empathic things on the phone for 3 hours. You would enable a new solution. And people want to feel cared about. It's going to be an absolute game changer.
We're talking about the patient experience, and we hear that term often, and we also hear the term patient engagement a lot. Are they the same thing? What is the impact of the confusion around those two terms and their relationship?
Sure. Well, you're just trying to get me to talk about my favorite topic, I think. This is a hot spot for me, and it's definitely in the dialogue nationally and internationally. Whether patient experience is the same as engagement. And the easy answer is no. You know, I think about experience as a broad context, and engagement is a part of it. A good friend gave me the example of a roller coaster ride. You could go on the roller coaster, you could sit there with your arms folded, you could close your eyes the whole time, you could not say anything, and the roller coaster ride ends and you get off. Another opportunity is for you to ride the roller coaster, throw your arms in the air, not wear your seatbelt, and cling to the bar at scary moments, and scream the whole time. Well, both people had the experience of riding a roller coaster, but their behaviors during that ride were quite different. And how engaged they were in the ride is quite different because of those behaviors. So that's the context I think about it. We need to be very careful. I'm hearing a lot of vendors and technology talk about engagement as number of downloads or clicks on their app. And that is not how healthcare would define engagement. We define that as the behaviors that a patient demonstrates to really take maximal benefit from the resources around them in managing their health. And that could be showing up for appointments, that could be knowing the meds you're on, that could be planning for end of life. And so those behaviors are what drive true engagement and therefore outcomes with respect to a patient's health. And we need to put that under a broader umbrella of experience. Some great questions that rise up when people ask me that question are around who controls engagement, meaning for me as a healthcare system, am I supposed to know all the right ways to engage you as the patient, or should the patient be defining what engagement looks like for them? And who's in control of that? For my MS patients, as an example, you know, the traditional methods that you might engage a patient with, like measuring their walking speed or, recording certain values with respect to their health, aren't always a good thing. Meaning, for a young mother with MS and 3 kids who has a full-time job, she wants to be a normal human being. She doesn't want to be engaged, quote-unquote, every day asking her to time her walking, which we all know is getting slower. So I think we need to be really careful and thoughtful about those different terms and what we're actually saying. The other one that always comes up too is, it's not just all about the patients all the time. I think in order to optimize health, you need the clinicians caring for the patient also engaged. And with the burnout epidemic that's currently ongoing, that's not always the case. So we need to talk about both sides. People engagement, perhaps, not just patient engagement.
You mentioned the experience of one of your patients, a mother with multiple sclerosis, and how our traditional methods of patient engagement might not really provide her the optimal patient experience. With that in mind, how can clinicians be more empathetic to the patient experience? And in reverse, how can patients be more empathetic to the clinician's experience?
Well, you're raising a great point. Because a lot of times, as soon as people hear the word patient experience, they think you're talking about CMS patient satisfaction surveys or governmental patient satisfaction surveys. And I would argue that in the most important work in patient experience doesn't have to do with your scores. It has to do with whether or not you're deeply attentive to the person in front of you and what that person is feeling and experiencing. So it's an important discrepancy to highlight that when I think about patient experience, it's not globally accepted, but when I think about patient experience, it's about doing that much more important work. So to clinicians, I would ask, you know, patient experience for me isn't about being a technician or a great surgeon, because a great surgeon is also a healer, right? They're not just perfecting their operating craft, they're attending to the human being in front of them in a much more meaningful way. It also isn't about foot rubs or spa massages. Patient experience is really about reducing avoidable suffering for our patients. The confusion of a bill, the rude parking attendants, missed cues emotionally from our patients, those are pieces that they can own because you own the words that fall out of your mouth, right? You don't own whether a patient wanted a grilled fish and they get a taco, necessarily, but you own attending to that emotional moment with another human being. The last important piece with clinicians and experience is that, you know, these relationships with patients can provide us with meaning, and meaning in our work is an antidote for burnout. So if you let them influence you and impact you, that can fill a well that I think sometimes can feel empty for clinicians. On the flip side, you brought up, you know, what could patients do? And I would just say it's the small gestures. Ask how our day was or something personal about us, just to make it a human moment, not just a scribed moment or a procedure. And that being said, I don't think it's really fair to put the responsibility of caring for the clinician on the patient. You know, I had this experience years ago with my 88-year-old aunt who was having surgery, and they removed her glasses, they took out her dentures, we removed her hearing aids, and then, of course, we stripped her humanity by having her take off all of her clothes and pile them in a little pile next to her bed and put on this gown. And think about that. She can't hear, she can't see, she can't speak, and the pieces of her are going to be left by her bedside physically that make her who she is. And I just remember feeling that she was so incredibly vulnerable in that moment. And I was begging the transporter as he was wheeling her away to treat her like his own family, trying to make sure that she was human in his eyes. And that amount of vulnerability, when that is present, I don't think it's fair to make sure that she cares for us. I think we have to recognize that vulnerability needs attention, and it might be weighted more on the side of making sure we're taking great care of her rather than expecting her to care for us. But they do, invariably.
So far, we've been talking about empathy at the individual level. As we expand out and look at the healthcare industry as a whole, what role do you see empathy playing in healthcare-related innovation? Is it the same? Is it different compared to other industries?
Well, I think empathy should play a huge role, and I think it does when it's deployed and used effectively. And what I mean by that is you're seeing lean methods or continuous improvement methods or design thinking really begin to infiltrate healthcare. And a core component of that, as you may well know, is empathy, right? They go to Gemba in the beginning. They sit in the waiting rooms. They listen to the phone calls. They follow the patient. So all sorts of different ways to enlighten sort of a deeper understanding of what's going on for that patient emotionally and physically, and really what matters most to them. Because that is the unexpected promise that we have to deliver on, right? We have to exceed their expectations, not just meet them. And only deep empathy will give you that. And so I think other industries have figured this out already, right? They make it convenient for patients to cash checks or, you know, not have to come to the store to buy it online, or cost transparency is another great example. So healthcare is catching up, and what's unique about us is our patients are already suffering, and the most empathic thing we can do is not pile on more. And those sorts of innovations that speak to what matters most to the patients around things like service, communication, delays, and access will be transformative.
You brought up price transparency, and it's hard for me to think of another consumer experience where people don't have a sense of what the price is of what they're purchasing. Where do you think the healthcare industry is on price transparency? How important is it in terms of creating the type of patient experience that we're all aiming for?
Well, I think price transparency is huge. I mean, it goes back to some of that issue that you described, or we were talking about around patient engagement, right? Everybody talks about patients as though they're all this engaged patient running around with their Fitbit monitoring all their data. And in fact, that's not what a lot of patients look like, right? They didn't have choice coming into the hospital. They, right, don't have choice over who their insurance pays for. They don't have all the rights that a regular consumer does in the normal world, even though they should. And so I think cost transparency is key, right? I mean, can you imagine any other industry where the first time you find out the price of what you just consumed, the product or good that you consumed, was after you consumed it?
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
And often I could tell you, I mean, I just read a quote the other day that said, it would have been great to have some warning about what this bill was going to be. And I think that shock, too, for people isn't fair, right? I think we need to be able to design an experience that sets expectations up front, not just emotionally, but also in concrete operational ways, like giving you some sense of what the care is going to cost. because to me, that's just additional suffering we're piling on.
Well, for the past 9 years or so, Cleveland Clinic has hosted a patient experience summit. What are the goals for this summit? How have they evolved over the past decade or so?
Sure. When we started, I think we were just trying to get patient experience on the map. Fortunately, 9 years later, I think we're in a place where patient experience is on the healthcare map. That being said, when we started, it was just a couple hundred people, probably all Cleveland Clinic caregivers, and we were trying to find our direction. I think now we've found it. You know, the conference is about the intersection of empathy and innovation and how they should be deeply intertwined to be maximally effective. And so our goals these days are things like nudge neurons about transforming healthcare, but not just the typical things you hear around virtual visits or digitizing things, but really the experience of care. What does that need to feel like? And how could we redesign things to make sure we've made people feel cared about and valued and known by an organization? And the second goal is really around a global conversation. We don't have all the answers. This conference is different than I think many that are on the landscape because we are most interested in evidence-based work that is going on around the globe. So although it started with us, I think we're eager to learn about what the rest of the globe is doing and what things that have actually driven results. There's a lot of noise out there, and we want to be clear that make it easier for people to distinguish noise from reality. Things that will stick if you only had so much time and energy to invest. So those are probably two. A third would probably be to make sure partners that are at our patients as partners are at the table. So we specifically begin and end every experience summit with patient narratives and stories, and we invite them on the stage, either with their care team or without, to make sure that we're anchoring people in what matters most.
Well, we've got time for one last question, and it's a question we ask all of our guests on Steps to Value. This podcast focuses on the relationship between humans and technology. What's your favorite technological invention, and what impact do you think it's had on our culture?
Well, recently the one that I found is the telephone. And I know you may give me a weird look, although I can't see your face right now. The reason for that is because in my own practice as a practicing clinician and executive, I have about 80 gazillion ways for people to get a hold of me. They can email me in my personal email, my work email. They could page me. They could call my cell phone, either my personal cell phone or my work cell phone. They could find me on social media, right? They could message me or post something and tag me. I still have a real mailbox, a couple of them, at my home or at my work or at my office. And I think what's been really interesting about that is that despite the fact that we have 80 different modalities to communicate with each other, the most effective one might still be either in person or in an actual conversation that could be had over the phone. And so the telephone has become very popular. By the time I type a message, I could have finished the conversation on the phone. And somehow I think we're getting trained into some of the technology rather than recognizing that older technology or the most ancient methods of communication are actually the most powerful.
Dr. Adrian Boise, bring back a classic. Actually picking up the telephone. Dr. Boise is Chief Experience Officer at Cleveland Clinic Health System and a staff neurologist at Cleveland Clinic's Mellon Center for Multiple Sclerosis. Adrian, thanks so much for joining us today on Steps to Value.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Denver. I focus on building collaborative relationships for HIMSS with other organizations to align opportunities to work together to offer resources, education, and to support our shared goals. You're listening to Steps to Value.
is your organization making sure to stay empathetic with your patients through the dizzying pace of technological change? Send us a note as a voicemail or an email, and we'll play them on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Adrienne Boise, Chief Experience Officer of Cleveland Clinic Health System, for her valuable insights on the importance of empathy to a positive care experience. For more information on Cleveland Clinic's Patient Experience Summit, please visit this episode's landing page in the HIMSS Value Suite. Steps to Value is a copyrighted HIMSS North America production. The series is co-produced by Rod Pahowski. Kelly Lippitt is story editor and guest relations manager. I'm Adam Baser, and see you next time on Steps to Value.